Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend one full year playing at least 52 games, and then we talk about them. My name is Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is our 2017 Christmas cast.
Da-da-da-da.
Where we are not talking about a single retro game as we typically do. Instead, we are going to be doing something somewhat of a retrospective of 2017. We are going to confer and chat and converse about big video game releases this year. We're going to talk about some major gaming news and some event items, and then we're going to end it all with a nice little look into the future as we set some goals and resolutions for 2018. Is that not hard to believe, 2018?
That's crazy. This year went by so fast.
Also, jinx, Nolan.
Oh, he can't talk the rest of the episode.
That's right. You owe me a Coke or something.
Something like that. To start this episode off, it is our Christmas cast, and so keeping it thematically appropriate, I've got a Christmas competition for the two of you.
All right. I like competitions, and I also like Christmas. So
can you say Nolan's name three times or something, please?
Nolan.
Okay, I'm back.
Three times or something, all right. Please. Okay, good.
You could have won that competition really easily.
I threw it. Yeah, I had it in my hands.
So we've done this one or two other times before, and it's some of my favorite moments when I pit you two guys against one another.
It's my least favorite.
And I think there'll be some competition here, because what we're going to do is I'm going to say a famous quote from a notable Christmas movie. And we're going to go through 10. Each of you have the opportunity to get 5 of them. We're going to alternate between you two. If one of you does not get it, guesses wrong, or does not have a guess for one of yours, then the other person gets a guess. For every correct guess, you get 1 point, and whoever has the most points at the end wins Christmas.
Kenny, do not use your phone.
Yeah, no phone, no Google, okay. No Wikipedia.
This is only brains.
This is legit.
And memories. So here's the thing. Some are obviously going to be a little bit easier than others. I'm going to go in complete order, so I'm not hopping around. There's no cheating here. We do need to determine who goes first.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Heads.
Rock.
Okay.
Heads beats rock.
Does it?
No, it does
not.
No. Rock, right, listen, hits a head, kills.
I've picked a number between 1 and 10. What are your guesses? The closest one goes first.
2.
3.
Oh, I hate you.
So you wanted to go first, Kenny? Kenny goes first. The number was 7. So, all right, silence, please. The first quote is, "Teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings." Kenny, what is the Christmas movie?
The Christmas movie is
wrong.
How much time do I have?
No, you
for
don't.
These?
You
no, I know this, but I'm not thinking of the name of it, and it's frustrating.
Well, we're a podcast, and so we've either
I know
we kill air or
all day.
Okay. Give me 10 more seconds.
10? Us doing what?
It starts now. When you said that, it's already. You're at 6.
10, da-ba-da, 9, da-ba-da, 8, da-ba-da, 6, da-ba-da.
I hate you guys. I'm embarrassing myself in front of everybody because this is the most obvious thing. I literally told somebody this was my favorite Christmas movie just a week ago. And now I freeze. It's okay. I'm not answering. I lose.
All right, Nolan.
I lose this game.
Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Nolan, do you have a guess?
It's A Wonderful Life.
Oh, correct.
It's not right now because I'm salty that I'm a
Kenny's classic salty for the rest
idiot.
Of this year.
Yeah.
We won't judge you, Kenny. Chill.
It's
Don't
his favorite
so
movie,
yourself.
Nolan.
I can't handle the pressure.
All right, Nolan, here's yours.
Okay.
The quote is, "What if Christmas," he thought, "doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more?"
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You gave him the easy one.
Correct. That is 2 points.
You gave him the easy
one. No, yours was very easy too.
No, that one's easier.
2 points for Nolan and 0 for Kenny. Kenny, we're coming back your direction, and I think you'll appreciate this one. Your quote is, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid."
Oh, come on.
A Christmas Story.
What if it wasn't? What if it was something else?
2 points to Nolan, 1 point to Kenny. Coming back your direction,
I
Nolan.
Need you to throw it, Nolan.
This is a slightly longer quote, so bear with me. The quote is,
all right.
He never got his picture on bubblegum cards, did he? Have you ever seen his picture on a bubblegum card? Hmm? How can you say someone is great who's never had his picture on bubblegum cards?
Oh, gosh. I am not going to be able to get this one. Pass.
Do you want
to
guess? Okay, pass.
No.
Kenny, coming your direction, do you have a guess?
Oh, I'm going to totally guess, even though I don't know, just as a way of trying to steal back a point. I'm going to say that is from Miracle on 34th Street.
Incorrect. That good was guess. A quote from a Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Oh.
That's a way wow, better guess. No, so am I. I had no idea.
Kenny, we're coming back your direction. That is 2 points Nolan still and 1 point Kenny. Nolan? Nope. Nolan's friend Kenny? Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
Okay, I'm going to just repeat my answer and say Miracle on 34th Street.
Correct! It really was the next one in line.
I figured it was in there somewhere.
Correct. Oh. So it's 2-2. All right, and that is the fifth question. We're going to the sixth question with or sixth quote with Nolan. The quote is as follows. Bless this highly nutritious, microwavable macaroni and cheese dinner and the people who sold it on sale. Amen.
Amen. Home Alone 1.
Correct. I'm glad you knew that it was one instead of two.
Yeah, I know that.
I love that you knew it right away. That is 3 points. Nolan, 2 points. Kenny, we are moving on to our seventh question, seventh quote going to Kenny.
This one's worth double points though, right?
No, it's... Shut up.
We're your worst nightmare. Elves with attitude.
Oh.
Yes.
Santa Claus. Bam, sucker.
Correct. How did you know?
You act like I just didn't watch that movie last night. Come on.
Wait, are you serious?
Come on.
I watched it the night before last.
Wait, y'all are crazy.
I really
we're syncing up our... it's because Netflix has so few options of Christmas selection. Movies.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. It is 3-3, am I correct?
Oh, great, yeah.
Okay, yep. We're moving on to the eighth quotation is for you, Nolan.
Okay.
Lovely, glorious, beautiful Christmas upon which the entire kid year revolved.
I think that's also a Christmas story.
You're correct. It is, again, a Christmas story. And a little fake, but I'm following the quiz that was on here. Congratulations. Nice. That's 4-3. We're moving on to quote number 9. This is your final quote that's coming your way, unless Nolan passes his final one.
Which he will.
The thing about trains, it doesn't matter where they're going. What matters is deciding to get on.
Polar Express.
Correct, Kenny. Yeah. It is 4-4, Nolan,
throw. This better be really hard. If it's easy, I quit
yours
the podcast.
Yours was so easy. Shut up.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
What? Oh, no. I have to guess, huh?
How much time have we given him? Said?
He's got as much time as you had for your first one.
Yeah, I know,
like
30
seconds.
No, you get 10 seconds, like now.
I forgot the quote by now, so there's no way I'm going to get it. Elf. I don't know.
It is not Elf. Kenny, would you like me to read it one more time? Or do
no,
you have your
the
guess?
Irony is rich.
Oh my gosh.
It's... A Wonderful Life.
It is A Wonderful Life.
Yes.
So wait.
I have a wonderful life.
Is that 4-4 or did he just win? He just won.
No,
he just got his fifth point.
What?
Yeah, he did. It was 4-4.
I quit this podcast.
I got the steal.
Congratulations, Kenny.
I'm
you just won
so
Christmas.
Right now. You guys literally just made Christmas for me.
Wow,
my heart is racing. I don't do competition well.
That is our one and only gift for you, so we hope you enjoy
Thanks.
It.
I love it.
All right, well, now that we've played a competition,
back
thank you
business.
For listening to this podcast. No, it is time to talk about gaming in 2017, yeah?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think we probably ought to remind everyone that since we are a retro gaming podcast, and this is a retrospective on modern games, that even more than usual, we're going to not really know what we're talking about.
Definitely.
It's always fun at the end of the year to look at recent releases that are big titles and, you know, big things in the world of gaming at large. But give us some leeway if we offend you or say something that isn't quite true. We're trying our best.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, and we're here to bring you some Christmas joy. So sit back, relax by the fire, and listen to the tale of gaming throughout 2017.
We might as well start off with the game of the year, Zelda Breath of the Wild, which it's really funny because we planned out this list of games before I had touched it, but 2 days ago I played the game for the very first time.
Interesting. I've never heard of the game. What is it?
It's called The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
It's not a very well-known series or a very big title, so you might have missed it easily.
It's this weird company called Nintendo. They're from Japan, but
yeah, never heard. Interesting. Well, so you got it 2 days ago. We know that you did because you've been playing nonstop, and you... I haven't talked to you today much about it, but yesterday you were going, you know, you're saying that everything that has been said about it is well deserved. Do you still feel that way a day later?
Yeah. So I'll need more time, obviously, but not really, because it's like everything is true. There's a reason that it's Game of the Year. It's so different in the series compared to other games, like so many RPG elements.
It's open world.
It's open world, this free-flowing physics engine that is just weird in Zelda, but so good.
But it still feels like a Zelda title somehow.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, there's a thing about Zelda games that this still has. I don't know. They still got the heart of it down really well.
No one... Is it true that it has voice acting?
Voice acting, top notch, Dustin.
Link has voice acting.
No.
Okay.
No, they stay true to the heh, but you don't have any like words or anything. But Zelda is voiced by this British woman.
I think grunts count as voice acting. Somebody had to make those noises.
I don't count that.
Yeah, but Link's not having full conversations.
Oh, let me pick up this sword here. No,
it's
so great.
Ooh, the master sword. How nice.
Ah, that's what he would say. Ah. It's so good. Like, Dustin, I want you to play it. Kenny's played it and rubbed it in my face. Like, very uncool.
I'm so glad that you finally got around to playing it, just because I knew you were going to like it even more than I did. And it's a hard game to explain. And you've done such an amazing job of avoiding self-spoilering, and that's
everything.
Really hard.
I didn't see one thing about this game. I really didn't. And I'm so glad that I stayed true to that.
Not only have you been a big fan and become an even bigger fan over the last couple of days and playing Breath of the Wild, but it's really received universal acclaim. I mean, you'll see, you can Google at all, you know, the title, and you'll see over and over again, one of the greatest video games of all time. It received numerous Game of the Year awards. It broke Metacritic's record for most ratings of 100. So it received 43 100 ratings.
Yeah.
43 ratings of 100,
That's insane.
Which breaks the record. I mean, it's just loved by many.
Yeah, and I actually pulled IGN's score for each one of these games that we're going to talk about just because reference, and they're by no means the say in gaming, but that's a pretty big one. They gave it a 10, called it a masterpiece, so hard to argue with.
Yeah, definitely not a surprise, and one that I'd love to play someday. It came out on the Nintendo Switch and Wii U, but if you're playing it on the Wii U, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you got, better than nothing.
No, you're doing something wrong.
Another game that came out October 27th, so not that long ago, was the newest entry into the Assassin's Creed series with Assassin's Creed Origins. And this one, if you know the Assassin's Creed games, these are set in different time periods. And this one is the earliest one, set in Egypt around 48 BC, which is a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a really unique setting. I'm glad they went there.
Very unique. I don't know of any other game that has done that. Now, you've got, as I'm thinking, you've got like some of the Prince of Persia stuff, but even that's much later, yeah?
Yeah, and very different game, too. I mean, the Assassin's Creed was inspired by the Prince of Persia, but it's still so different in my mind.
Oh yeah, they took something that was good and they expanded on that to just create a whole nother genre. It definitely has some origins, no pun intended, in Prince of Persia, but it definitely went its own route. And this game, thankfully, has actually been praised by critics by and large.
Yeah.
Many are saying that it's one of the best, if not the best, entries into the series. However, I'm worried that it is a good game, but not a good Assassin's Creed game, if you know what I mean.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
And you haven't played it yet, right, Dustin?
I've not played it. Definitely going to play it. I just, yeah. The last Assassin's Creed game I bought at launch was Unity, which was the French Revolution Yikes. One, which if you know anything about video game releases, that was probably one of the worst video game releases in recent years.
So,
and, so we were burned a little bit, and I knew we didn't have time to play it now, so this summer will be where we play Origins.
It's been enough time, though, now that... At least the, like, you're not getting into a bad game is clearly evident. So you're pretty safe.
Yes. It's definitely not a bad game. But I said it, and what I mean is that I'm a big fan of the Assassin's Creed series, but I like the story, the narrative. I like it taking you on this adventure. But that adventure game is becoming more and more of an RPG game where you're leveling up skills, you're getting item drops, weapon drops. And while that's fun in its own right, that's not what Assassin's Creed has been historically. And so that's why I'm worried.
Yeah, interesting. They're almost like seeing Destiny and some of those kind of games and
exactly.
putting elements of it in there.
Well, I mean, Breath of the Wild, too, has impacted okay. that. And, I mean, there's been other games that have come out. I mean, we could even, I hate to do it because everyone still does it, but talks about Skyrim. Yes, it was a great game, but let's move on, please. But they see the success of some of those, and they're like, let's do that, or let's create that, or that's what the people want, rather than let's give the fans another good Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you. And that can be good and can give you big titles, but it can also be a limitation. I love when game developers throw all that out the window and say, let's do something really unique in terms of gameplay, in terms of visuals, in terms of a lot of those kind of things. And so one of the big releases that came out this year that was made in that vein that I'm very excited to play, I haven't yet, but I know, Nolan, you have some, so you'll have to fill us in, is Cuphead.
Cuphead's great. It got a lot of hype, and it's all about the graphics. That's why it got so hyped. It's like 1930s cartoon, not inspired. It's 1930s cartoon graphics, like hand-drawn. Everything is hand-drawn and animated.
So literally looks like you're playing a interactive old cartoon.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
like without
so
the racism.
And it's an indie company, right? Like it was... Mm-hmm. It was created by an independent developer, which is super fun because most of the time, your indie developers are not creating games that are this successful.
Yeah, I mean...
It's true. To get as much hype as it did, being a smaller company was awesome. And Nolan, you said that the only appeal of this game was the graphics, but they did some really interesting gameplay kinds of things, too, and making everything sort of boss battle oriented.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And, you know, kind of the way you actually go through the game. It's not just pretty eye candy. It's something that people have enjoyed for a lot of reasons.
Well, that's what I loved about it. So I played it all the way through, and Hannah, my wife, watched it, and she absolutely loves the graphics. She said she felt like she was watching a cartoon the whole time, which is impressive. Like, the fact that the graphics look the way they do, but the gameplay is so fluid. And it's all boss battles and like a few mini games in between there. They're called run and gun levels where you just go through levels and platform. But like, I would play through this game again and again and again if I didn't stop myself. I got so much enjoyment out of it. And it's like barely, I don't even know if it's $20. It'll probably be on sale.
But here's the thing. It's severely difficult, yeah?
It's harder. People have really blown it out of proportion, like saying it's the PG Dark Souls. And it is a difficult game, but that's the point. Like, playing the boss again and again, learning the cycles, learning their tails before they attack and knowing how to dodge it, that's where the enjoyment comes from. But if that's not your thing, I mean, don't play it.
Well, it's a unique game where it is that. It's very much you play, you get frustrated, you play again until you eventually build up muscle memory of how a particular level or boss is conquered. And then your fingers kind of just do the work, right? Is that how it...
I mean, pretty much. That's how it played out for me. And then sometimes you would barely win and you would just this huge sigh of relief. Like, it's so satisfying to play and it makes for a really, really cool speed game. So check out the speed run of it.
Yeah, I know it's not a game necessarily for everyone. If you're not used to the run and gun, that genre, that kind of difficulty, then it might be something you want to watch but not necessarily play. I think maybe I even shared with both of you guys, there was a video of a gaming journalist who was demoing the game early on, and he was just doing the tutorial level, and he was failing miserably at the tutorial level over and over again. It was embarrassing to watch, and even not having played the game, I could easily see what he was doing wrong, but it kind of goes back to my question. Nolan, do you think, like, is it too unforgivable? Difficult, or is it tough but fair?
It's tough but fair because they give you difficulty levels, and even the lowest one, you'll get a challenge. I played on normal my first playthrough and had some very frustrating moments, but I beat it in 2 to 3 days, and I think it's fair. I think it's totally fair. That video you're talking about, the guy should not be a reporter for gaming, because it wasn't even a hard thing. He was jumping over something and you just have to air dash. Like, it tells you what to do. He's just bad.
Sounds like a problem I would run into.
Another game, one that came out this year that we probably know the least about on the list of games that we're talking about, is an action role-playing video game that came out exclusively for the PlayStation 4. That's probably why a lot of the gaming that we do is PC. Nolan, now Switch, but it's called Horizon Zero Dawn, and it was the best-selling launch of an original IP on the PS4, making it the second best-selling PS4 title at all.
Wow. I didn't realize those stats.
So it's huge, and we know so little about it just simply because we either don't have the console or don't play much on the console. But guys, if you've watched any footage of this or any gameplay, it is beautiful. The graphics are phenomenal. The setting is entirely unique, and on top of that, there's a female protagonist.
Yeah, I love that,
which makes it super cool.
And it's some of the most realistic human graphics in a game I've ever seen. It looks like people. It's kind of scary when you go look at some of the cutscenes. It looks just like a person.
Outside of Breath of the Wild, this is the one on the list that if I had a way to play, I would probably play next. Because you'd heard the hype and I knew the hype and I knew it was a big title, but in kind of making sure I was ready to talk about some of these games and researching and looking at this game, it looks just so fun.
Dude, the combat alone looks so intense. Like, you're using a bow. Like, that's her primary weapon.
Her range and stealth thing is just awesome.
And I think the premise is, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's society got so advanced that, like, they collapsed, and what was left was these beasts, these robotic beasts that now stalk the land and are the wild, and humans are having to rise back up and, like, prehistoric.
Yes, it's like post-apocalyptic.
I love that.
Where it's primitive weaponry, all of these people groups are reassembling and growing up based on, like, mythology and different religions and
so
faiths.
Sick.
And so you've kind of got, like, a lot of this maybe Nordic or Viking type feel, and they're using these, again, primitive weapons with bow and arrows that do get upgraded along the way, and you're going through the scenery that is overgrown, dirt, grass, tree, you know, that kind of fauna, but like, hidden underneath it is not only stone and rubble, what we're used to seeing, but it's this, again, advanced machinery and advanced, like, futuristic things
that juxtaposition is so great.
Oh, I love the imagery of that, and I really think this game is kind of reminiscent in a good way of, like, the Far Cry games, the Uncharted games, and it's one that we haven't played, but it's gotten generally positive reception, and it's one that I along with Kenny would love to play sometime.
Yeah, I don't really have an excuse for this one. I have a PS4 and I knew about it, but I just didn't pick it up. IGN gave this one a 9.3, by the way. It's pretty high.
Yeah, that's solid.
Another game that I would rate high, but still haven't played, is our next game that we're going to talk about, and that is Yooka-Laylee. And this is the Rare team, or at least some of the members that previously worked for Rare. And this is supposed to be a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie,
which was a big Nintendo 64 title that I think we all played at some point.
Yeah, and if you haven't, you definitely should. It's
have we played it
classic.
As a part of our podcast? We played so many games now, I'm starting to forget.
Yeah, we played it.
It was a while ago, but we did.
And it was great.
Yeah, so Yooka-Laylee started as a Kickstarter that raised over $2 million, guys.
Dude, I know, that's nuts. That's got to be one of the highest.
I think they reached their first goal of like 14,000 within the first hour. They reached 1 million within the first 10 hours. And then they hit, it's something like that. It's something crazy that people just jumped on this because, again, it's that nostalgia factor with Banjo-Kazooie and games like that, that when you put out Yooka-Laylee, which is instead of a bear and a bird in Banjo-Kazooie, you've got a chameleon and a bat in Yooka-Laylee, each with their unique personalities.
Just as unique. And man, it just reminds me, like, their name alone, Rare. Hey, this is the Rare team coming at you. We want to make this game, and it's a platformer, and it's like the old games we used to play. It's just like, people know good games and backed it so readily, and I'm so proud of people for doing that.
That's
look what
the
we have.
Highest praise for how good Banjo-Kazooie was.
Yeah.
And how much impact it had on people, that they would say, hey, we want that again, but fresh and modern and, you know, with today's sort of look and interface and flow and all the things that we expect in a modern game, but with the soul of a retro game. And as retro gamers, that just kind of warms my heart that, you know, these old classics are still appealing to people enough that they'll put money towards seeing them revived and seeing another pass taken at them. And it's a pretty cool concept.
That being said, it's been a little sad to watch some of the feedback from people. I'm interested to hear Nolan's IGN score, because from what I've gathered, it may have, you know, tickled the nostalgia itch for some hardcore Banjo-Kazooie fans. But what I'm seeing by and large is that it didn't really provide for the greatest gaming experience.
I haven't heard much about it post-hype, and so I'd be interested to know as well.
Yeah, IGN gave it a 7 out of 10, and that's average, right? I mean,
but IGN has been notoriously bad for either like 10s,
right,
if it's
right.
the best game ever, or 7s if it's absolute garbage.
Yeah, and again, yeah, I don't trust IGN on everything. I just thought it'd be interesting to have a baseline.
Definitely.
That's sad to hear, though. I mean, but here's the bright side. I can get it on the Switch. It's like $15. Like, it's not an expensive game. I'll still get it and play it.
Yeah, and I also know, just along with that, that Crash trilogy, I think that came out this year, or reboot, whatever that Crash thing was, Crash Bandicoot, another old, that was PlayStation title, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But they did kind of a reboot of that this year, and some of the same stuff, that it's nostalgia, and it's fun in that right, but I don't know, maybe that, it seems as though we as a group of collective gamers have moved on past some of those things. And it's sad to see.
That makes me sad.
Okay, Nolan, you said something that piqued my interest.
Okay.
Now that you have a Switch, you talked and you did it right, like everybody, and you got Breath of the Wild first and are playing it.
Uh-huh.
Bravo. Then you said you were going to get Yooka-Laylee next. Or you were going to pick it up at some point, rather. I'm sorry.
Some point.
Yeah, my question is, of the titles that have dropped on the Switch, because most of them have been successful, what's next for you? Is it Mario Kart? Is it Super Mario Odyssey? Is it some of the other are you going to get just Skyrim and play through it again? What are you going to do?
Heck no. I've got a PC that'll kill that game. It's Odyssey, right? That's like, for me, it was between Breath of the Wild or Odyssey, because both of those games are like fighting for game of the year and they're on the same console. I'm glad I made the choice for Breath of the Wild, but like Odyssey, we got to talk about Odyssey.
Yeah, for many people, this game, it was a rival to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
both truly powerful games. This again had a late October release on the Switch, where Mario's hat is this all-powerful being that can transform Mario into pretty much anything that you can imagine within the game.
Yeah, like, they try to have a gimmick, right, for every major Mario game. So Super Mario 64, there wasn't too much of a gimmick there. I guess the paintings, you know, you go into the paintings, whatever. Sunshine was Flood, the jetpack that shoots water, and you, like, clean up paint everywhere. And then what was next? Galaxy, you're in space. So this one is a talking hat.
Which sounds really terrible, but this is another one that they absolutely delivered on. I haven't heard a bad thing about this game yet, and that's saying something, because as much as there is kind of momentum that comes from being a big title, there's also a lot of expectation that comes when you're bringing out another Mario game or another Zelda game or something that people have high expectations for. And if you churn something out and it's just okay or not novel or doesn't kind of fit the console you're on or whatever else, people can kind of shrug and not care. But I don't think, at least for the big name titles, that there's been a bad Switch release yet.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Even I don't think the Nintendo branding gives it a pass in any way. Like, there's been other Super Mario games that, and none of them have been complete flops, but that people look at and look back at and say, this is not the best game in the series. This is not a good entry. They didn't do anything new or novel here. There was a few of those, but with Super Mario Odyssey, it kind of just flipped everything on its head. It became the fastest selling Super Mario game ever, selling 1.1 million copies in the US in 5 days.
Which is crazy. I wonder how much of that, though, and I know on its own it's a good game, but I sort of big picture philosophically wonder how much of that lends itself to the success of Breath of the Wild. Because I think, without Breath of the Wild being the great, amazing game that it was, the Switch wouldn't have even had the success that it did, and Nintendo really needed this to be a success.
Well, you brought us to talk about the Switch. I think it would be a good transition for us to move into some of the gaming events or news of 2017 and some of the big things that have happened. One of the first being the Nintendo Switch release. That happened this year. And may I just say, to start this off, I think that this was the year of Nintendo.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, there have been many good games that have come out on other platforms, but, like, come on. Like, this was Nintendo's year.
Well, not only that, I think that they had some ground to make up, because this console was following the weak Wii U. And the Wii U was fine in some ways, but overall, that was not a noteworthy console. And it will be one that's, in my opinion, quickly forgotten. But, like, here's a brief comparison. The Wii U sold 13.56 million in its lifetime, and the Switch sold 10 million in this year so far. Ooh. And it's not even over yet.
Look, let me just tell you what happened before this podcast. I was playing Breath of the Wild downstairs. I walked up the stairs and I put it on the charger to do a podcast with you, and I'm going to pick it up afterwards and it's going to resume. That is a home console that I can also leave the house with and still play a game that is running that intense. Like,
yeah, so when they announced what they were going to do, I know people were kind of like, eh.
Oh, you know, they shrugged
hey,
it off,
what's the point?
Man.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, confusion. You know, did you miss it, Nintendo? Are you trying to just be gimmicky again? Oh, if you really want to be serious, you need to just make a dedicated box that does good graphics and be an Xbox or a PlayStation. And I love that Nintendo sticks to their guns and does things that they think people want. And that has meant some misses, but it's meant some really unique things in games that other people haven't done that makes the total landscape of options in gaming so much richer than if they just decided to be another third console that's standard with some of their own titles. And so,
well, even even last year with our Christmas cast, we knew it about the Switch. We knew it was coming. And so I was questioning some of it because I saw the specs and I was doing something that I should never do. And I was comparing a console specs, even a handheld console to some degree, to a PC specs. And you can't do that. It's a totally different thing when you're holding it, you know, inches from your face. and it's just a different thing altogether. And at some point, the thing is, it just looks good. Sure, it can look better in some minute ways that our eyes are not really going to see, but at some point, it's just going to look good. And not only that, it's able to run the games. It's getting third-party support. There's so many good games already in the catalog. And with Super Mario Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, we've already talked about, but also Rocket League, Skyrim, Doom? Minecraft, Shovel Knight, Doom.
The new
all of
Doom?
Those games. Yeah.
Mario Kart.
Right, Mario Kart 8, is that what it is?
8, yep.
Yeah, it's the one that was on Wii U, but they put it on Switch because they're like, yeah, screw the Wii U.
Sure.
And I could stay here forever, but just really quick. This is my favorite console of all time, and wow. I cannot wait for more games to come out on it, and I can't wait to play the ones that are already out and I don't have. I love the Switch, and I'm fully sold. I'm even more of a fanboy. Coming off of that high, we have to talk about something very sad that happened in gaming this year, and that's going to be the controversy around EA and all the microtransaction stuff that went down.
It wasn't just EA, but EA carried the brunt of it with Battlefront 2,
I want to say,
two,
you say
right?
Sad. Overdue, probably.
Well, yeah. See, I'm not in the number that just raises hell over this online and just joins the mob. Because, one, you don't have to participate in microtransactions. Games that are pay to win, I don't play. So it does affect me, but it's more just like a in bad taste kind of way. And I do feel like a little bad for EA and the heat that they took. But look, do you know what they were doing? They were taking Battlefront 2 and like you play arcade mode and they would cut you off. And you'd have to wait 3 hours to get more credits to play a mode.
Right. There's one thing with having microtransactions, and there's another thing where you're locking content that is already there that you paid for in purchasing a full game, and you're just locking it behind paywalls. That's the stuff that you guys know because, especially of recent games that we're playing, it bothers me when there's content that is there, and you've got a good quality game, but just to make more money because you're greedy, you hide necessary content behind more money.
Yeah, and the problem is it's just exploitive. Like, it really is. The fact that they're going to end up maybe alienating some people, and in this case, if there's a big backlash and gamers are vocal about, you know, not wanting to participate in these kinds of games and schemes, it's one thing. But there's lots of kind of gray area in the middle games that are making loads more money because they're doing similar kinds of things than games that just release and are done. Honestly, I think there are games that are free to play that are more profitable than or arguably more profitable for what you put into it than a title that you have to buy outright and pay monthly to play. And it's crazy to me that that is something that they've been able to succeed at because I don't know. It's just dingy.
Yeah, it's gross. And I said I feel bad for EA. I actually more so feel bad for the developers of some of these games. Because
that had no say?
It's publishers. Yeah, right. It's publishers pushing exactly. This. And it's like they want people to play their game. Battlefront 2 is supposed to be amazing. And then, come on, like you're keeping people from enjoying this art that someone made. I don't know. I hope
I'm
that
glad
it gets
that it
better.
Happened and think more of it needs to happen. Again, I don't mind a little bit of randomness. I don't mind a little bit of those sort of incentives for cosmetic kinds of things to, you know, to be in a loot box. I don't mind occasionally if people even pull out their wallet to save themselves a little bit of time, if that's what they're into. But there are lines that can be drawn somewhere, and I think it literally becomes game publishers taking advantage of people at some point. And though the hype was so overblown, it was almost ridiculous, and I started to roll my eyes because that's all anyone wanted to talk about. The fact that it is being talked about and that tangible things are happening in reaction to people's kind of blowback is so positive in my mind. And I think we still need more of that, or a continued amount of that, for the kind of broad picture of gaming today to get to a healthier place.
Well said. I think we should end with some happy, more pleasant 2017 gaming news. And that is the release of the SNES Classic. Last Christmas cast, we talked about the NES Classic. It had just come out. Kenny, you had gotten your hands on and own an NES Classic. But this year, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System Classic Edition released. And none of us own it, but Kenny, you did recently get to play it, yeah?
Yeah, I borrowed one for a while to kind of just compare it to the NES Classic and to look through the titles that are on there and to just sort of peruse it. And man, they did such a good job of continuing what fueled the hype around the NES Classic. Sure, some controversy with Nintendo not releasing enough of these, but I think they've been pretty clear that they really never intended that to be a thing and have done better about trying to get this one out. Whether or not they've done well enough is a whole different conversation. But they addressed the things that people had problems with in the first one, and they got some big titles from the NES era, and it was just a magical sort of golden era of gaming for me. And so all of those things aligned to make this such an absolutely fun console to play.
So can we not get it? Are they gone? I'm sure they are.
I think you're going to have a... No, I saw some available even just a couple of days ago. They're continuing to release them and will continue, from what I've read, through 2018. And so Nintendo has said... I know they kind of did still get backlogged in production like they did with the NES, but my understanding at least, and I'm not fully in the know, is that they're trying to make enough of them that if people want to buy one, you'll be able to eventually.
Just so that people know, it had games like this SNES Classic has like Donkey Kong Country, Earthbound, Final Fantasy VI, A Link to the Past, Star Fox, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, many other titles like that.
Contra 3, like some big name titles.
No Chrono Trigger, never going to buy.
That's the only thing that I can knock them for is the fact, I don't know if it was a rights thing or what, but that they didn't put Chrono Trigger on there. If they had gotten that, it would have been the perfect NES collection.
Yeah, it really would have. They made some great choices with the catalog. So, man, you're Nintendo every topic, right?
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah, it really is. Nintendo did it this year. They put in the work, and it's paid off. I applaud that. I'm for them. I've never been a big Nintendo fanboy. Nolan, I know you more so have, but this year I've got to give it to them. They did something really well.
Round of applause.
So as we come to a close of 2017 and move to a new year, I think it's always good for us to look back retrospectively over the past year. What have we accomplished? What have we done? As we also look to the future, what do we plan to do, hope to do? What are some of our resolutions, podcast resolutions for 2018? Really quickly, anything that comes to mind of things that we set out to do or that we accomplished in the realm of New Game Plus in the year 2017?
Yeah, so one of the big ones, probably top of our list, especially when we're considering like Patreon money and what to do, because we funnel everything back into the show. So audio quality was very important to us and making sure that that kept getting better and better. And I don't think that we were bad a year ago. I think that we were good, but we've really hit our stride, I think, with the equipment that we have, at least. And we have invested in some new mics, and we sound nice, right?
Yeah, so it could always be better. I mean, we could spend thousands of dollars, but
we're not running professional high-end equipment because we're not high-end professionals, but we've got to a place where what we deliver is something that is clean and we can be proud of.
And there's always going to be issues as we're not in the same location, So there's always going to be some audio quality issues that we're lacking. We're not in a studio. We're in three different places. And so there's always issues there. But I think we've gotten to a place that is presentable, that is professionable. What? Professionable?
It's a word.
Professionable.
Look it up.
And that is pleasing for our viewers to listen to. Another thing that we've really consistently done well is we've gotten content up on YouTube. Again, we can always do better with that, but I think that we provided almost weekly. I mean, at the start of this year, I don't think we really even had much of a YouTube, and now we've got, I don't, 100 videos? I don't know. We're nearing, I think we've got over 100 now from our backlog video episodes to our VODs, our weekly videos from the episode recordings to our first plays, and even the blind Let's Plays that you and I are doing of Ocarina of Time and Dark Souls. So we've definitely done some of that.
Something else that happened this year that maybe wasn't, it was kind of a resolution in a way. We wanted to put out more bonus content for all of you, and our Elements series was started this year, which is our bonus episode that we produce every month that is really different than what we do on a normal basis.
That has morphed into one of my favorite things for us to do.
Oh, it's great.
Just because it allows us to look sort of outside of our normal scope and interact with each other and with games in some different ways than we normally get to. But I have just really fond memories of taking a game, looking at one element of it, going a little deeper, being okay with the fact that it's not an old game, but it's just a game, and just diving in deep with you guys. And it's always made for really fun discussion. And I hope all of our viewers really enjoy getting to listen to those episodes as much as I like getting to help make them.
One other thing, Kenny, I want to check. Last year at our Christmas cast, we set for you a goal to listen to one New Game Plus episode this year. Have we accomplished that? Tell the truth. Have you listened in the year 2017 to one fully edited NGP episode?
In its entirety?
Yes.
Completely through in one sitting?
Yes.
No.
Man.
I've listened to a lot more of the show. I've gotten way better at doing some follow-up.
No, how? Wait, you can't say that if you haven't done the bare minimum.
It's a relative thing. I don't think I'd ever...
Skip to the part that you're talking?
No, I don't think I'd ever played back a single thing when we gave ourselves a hard time last year about it. And especially in like content creation, when we do first plays and some of those kinds of things, you got to go back and check them out.
Okay, so no progress.
But then you get, you know...
No progress there, but that does set us up to talk about some of our resolutions for the future. Yeah. Kenny, we'll
start
with you.
I'm not making that a resolution again.
It'll be a resolution of mine. I want Kenny to listen to one freaking episode of New Game Plus.
I was there. I heard them all.
He's doing it again, as if that's the answer and the solution that makes sense.
You know that's how he is.
We'll start with Kenny. Kenny, is there something, as we look forward to 2018, a resolution for the podcast that you would make?
Okay, this first one's kind of personal for me, podcast related, but not directly like New Game Plus. Ooh. But 2018, I really want to give myself more time to go back and finish playing some of these games that we've started and I've fallen in love with, and then we've moved on to another game and I've set aside and haven't continued to go back to and explore. Because we've had some great, great titles that in the week we mess with them, I kind of get to dabble with and get a taste of, and I'm like, I love this game, I want to play it more, and then I just forget to, and some of them make me smile so much that I think intentionally just saying, hey, there's some amazing, amazing old games out there, not just for us to talk about, but for me to play, and I want to give myself more time to do that.
For me, I think I want to invest more into the YouTube channel, and thank you for being patient with me with that. Speaking to both y'all and the listeners, viewers, sorry, because video editing is hard, and I'm realizing that on a scale that we produce at, and we've got our actual episode, and then in between recording that one, releasing it, and then the week of playing the game that we're playing that week, and then preparing for the next episode, sneaking in video content is just hard. That's just an excuse, but I want to be better at being consistent on our videos and even up in the quality some. We have some pretty good webcams, but I would like us to have more of a subscriber base, if I can be honest with you guys, on YouTube. I want us to see those numbers grow and get more people to listen through YouTube.
Yeah, one thing that we've got to do, and I mean, just admittedly, it's embarrassing that we haven't been able to hit that yet, is get at least 100 subscribers on YouTube so that we could get a personalized URL. We haven't even been able to do that because we haven't met the minimum of what they require. And you know, that's something that's relatively easy. It's just, again, it's, we've got to get the name of New Game Plus out there a little bit more. And our listeners have done an incredible job of helping us with that, of spreading it word of mouth, of sharing it online and in various formats. But that's something that we've definitely got to work on. And I would say, along with that, one of my resolutions, just continue to grow our listener base. We want New Game Plus to be able to get to the people. We know it's not for everyone, but we know that there's an audience out there that nostalgia works for them, that they've got a history with video games, that they would like to take some time within their week to revisit some of these beloved classics or horrendous mistakes, and be able to play those along with other people that are like-minded from all different walks of life, all different areas of the world, but be able to come together around a common love. And we definitely want that to get into the hands and to the ears of the right people.
I would say one of my goals for this coming year would have been for a Patreon pool to successfully allow us to play Toe Jam and Earl. There's some history there. If you're unfamiliar with it, hop in Discord, ask about it, listen to some of our back catalog. But thankfully, that's not something we have to ask for anymore, because we're getting to play it the last couple of weeks. And so Here's to more really good, non-trollish games. I'm looking at you, Bill. Picked from the master list and in our Patreon pool this year.
Yeah, and just going off of that, since we're on Patreon, we owe a huge Christmas thank you to everyone who supports us by listening. But there are those of you who go above and beyond and support us monetarily, which is super nice, and we never thought we would ever even dip into that category. We just wanted to do this podcast for fun, and I still want to do it for fun, but it's just so cool to have someone say, hey, you're good at this and I like listening to you. Like, it's so cool. So thank you to everyone who has supported us from day one, and all of you who have joined, you know, every day since then, or we just really appreciate it.
Through Patreon and through Discord, it's been a place where I've received a lot of joy from recently, just being able to come together. That Discord is a very lightweight program on computer or on your phone, where you're able to connect through text or audio. We don't do that much, but with other people in our New Game Plus community. And we've just really created some really cool relationships there. People that support us have supported us for a long time. So our Patreon patrons and our Discord friends and family members that come in there and just kind of spend the days and the weeks together investing in one another. We've seen some really cool relationships being built. Even just recently, one of our listeners through Discord was able to give an early Christmas gift, one of our games that we were playing that week, to just gift it to another person on there. It's just it's those kinds of things that make the family that is being created around this podcast. It's just a really, really cool thing to be a part of, and it's humbling. And we really, really appreciate you guys for believing in us, for believing in this podcast, and for sticking with us this full year.
I agree. Thanks, guys.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna. Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's not good enough.
So bad.
Well, we are wrapping up another year. We definitely want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. Join us next year as we play dozens and dozens of retro video games. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.